The following episode of How Did This Get Made is sponsored by LegalZoom. They're helping keep the show free. If you go to LegalZoom.com and enter the code EARWOLF, you'll get a discount and 100% of what you spend there comes directly back to the show. LegalZoom is the best place to help with your legal needs. They're not a law firm, but they provide self-help services at your direction. For more information on how to support this show and the rest of the EARWOLF podcast network, go to EARWOLF.com/insider.
It's Halloween, and it's time for something scary and good. But instead, we watched Leprechaun in the Hood.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Did you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to another episode of How Did This Get Made, the show where we try to make sense of the movies that make no sense. I am, of course, joined by my amazing co-host, as always, Jason Mantzoukas. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Very good. And June Diane Raphael, how are you?
Good. Hi, Paul.
Very good. I said very
so
good.
Delicate.
Yeah.
So delicate today.
Hi.
Oh, June couldn't make it. A baby is here.
If you are
I'm
listening,
just really young.
You really, yeah. That baby tee looks really odd on you.
That onesie you're wearing is very strange.
Don't worry about it. You guys, this is Hollywood.
It's a onesie. June is wearing a onesie that says, my mom is a slut.
It's in the little glitter spangles. We have a very special guest, as always, a horror aficionado, if you will. Kumail Nanjiani, how are you?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, you
Kumail,
look very cute,
also
too.
Wearing a onesie that says, I break for tits.
But his shorts are even better with the bootylicious shorts.
I break for tits.
So, Kumail, you like a good horror movie, right?
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to do a horror movie with you, because I know you love movies, you love bad movies as much as we do, and this one, Leprechaun in the Hood, is pretty amazing. If you don't know anything, this is the fifth in a series of I believe six Leprechaun films.
And the sixth one is a sequel to this one.
Right, called Back to the Hood.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, I did some research and
How dare us only do the first installment?
Where did the other ones take place?
Well, one took place in space.
That's the worst
what?
One.
Yeah, Leprechaun in space.
That one's really bad. That one's totally unwatchable. This one
Wait,
is like Casablanca compared to that one.
Because this one was totally unwatchable.
No. Watch in space.
Because tell me about in space. Are they dealing with astronauts or aliens?
They're in space, and what the problem with that one is, they were like, all right, let's do a full-on comedy. So it's just like terrible gags. Yeah.
Well, now, this one, I don't want to blow anybody's mind here, but is actually a prequel to Leprechaun number 1 and Leprechaun number 2.
What?
It says this is a, chronologically, this takes place after the events. Oh, Leprechaun 1.
This is like Star Wars. This is like the fifth movie exists before the first two movies.
So basically, Leprechaun 5 and 6 happen, and 4, I guess, happen before... Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, no, you know what? It just says, I guess it's just Leprechaun and Leprechaun Back to the Hood and Leprechaun 3 all take place before Leprechaun 1.
Well, what does any of this get us?
I had no idea. Yeah.
Well, what you can do, and what I believe people are doing right now, is they are cutting together the Leprechaun movies in chronological order, like Francis Ford Coppola did with Godfather 1 and 2. He cut them in, so it's one big movie. So you're seriously watching it all the way through chronologically, so it makes more sense. Okay. You know,
I mean, obviously. It does. This is a meaty franchise. I mean, because, you know, it starts in the 70s. Basically, if you want to know what the premise of the movie is, I'll just read you what Wikipedia says. Wannabe Los Angeles rap artist Postmaster P,
which it's already amazing.
Who is a rapper who delivers a positive message.
That's why Postmaster P, delivering message of positivity.
I love it. With his two bandmates, Stray Bullet and Butch, accidentally free a leprechaun that was imprisoned by a record producer, Mac Daddy Onassis, played by Ice-T, 20 years earlier. And the film follows the three as they attempt to evade the powerful leprechaun and the violent Mac Daddy, both of whom seek a magical flute with mind-altering capabilities possessed by the young trio. So the young trio has a magical flute the leprechaun wants.
That's a pretty good elevator pitch. Yeah.
Yes.
Listen, let's go to floor 32 because I got to get this out.
Because we all know leprechauns have magical flutes that possess mind control powers. So let me tell you what happens next.
Basically, the beginning of the movie starts off in the 70s with Ice-T talking to his, like, his fellow friend, and they're finding a treasure map. And he's like, how much did you pay for that treasure map? Because the treasure map just led to hamburgers and malt liquor.
Yeah. Yeah. That was called a cold 54.
Cold?
Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
It said cold 54 on it.
Oh, my God.
So they're upset because their treasure map that they bought in the 70s led to just cold 54. They get into a fight, and they break open another window or another wall, and there's a leprechaun in there.
Stone. Turned to stone.
Turned to stone, who has a pot of gold and a magical chain around his neck.
And a magical flute.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of magical things.
They take they take it and then they take the necklace off the leprechaun.
First Ice-T takes the magical flute and he goes, Motown, here I come. This is all I want.
Yeah, well, how did he know
Motown,
here I come. What? What are you talking about, Motown, here I come? Well, at this point, Motown is borderline irrelevant to the music community.
I bet this question is explained in Leprechaun 6, how he knew this.
I don't remember there being a magical flute in the other movie, so at some point, they lose the magical flute.
Well, the magical flute seems to only, like, mind alter people, but I don't know what it does, because
it just makes them look at you.
It makes them look at you, and then I guess you can brainwash them into writing music, because here's the whole thing. Watching this movie, I felt racist just by watching it.
Oh, jeez.
It's so racist. I think the conceit of the actual movie is rap music is so bad, and no one would ever listen to it unless they were hypnotized by a magical leprechaun flute. I mean, that's because this rap group, Postmaster P, they're good. They're not bad. I mean, they're good, quote, good. But when they play the flute, that's when people get into them.
Yeah, because their whole thing is that they want to be positive, and nobody's ready for it. But then they play the flute, and then people are like, oh, this is okay. Well, I also like how the movie jumps through hoops to, like, set up rap performances.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Like, they go to the church. Yeah, yeah, and the priest is like, our group can't make it. Can you guys step in?
Oh, the church has the craziest moment of all time. They're performing at the church, and one of the guys goes, hey, look, Coolio.
Oh, yeah.
And Coolio just is standing at the front of the
door. I think he just wandered onto the set.
That was it.
They just left the camera running.
By the way, the movie's set in Compton, and I was obsessed with how in a lot of their impromptu performances, when, by the way, they're hiding from Ice-T because they think he's going to shoot them, they do have a concert in one of the apartment complexes.
They throw a party as well.
Yeah. But in a lot of the crowd shots, there's just, like, random white people there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's, like, an older white gentleman in, like, a golf polo, like, standing there, like, why?
There's so much in this movie that makes absolutely no sense. And I really, like, I genuinely wish we could get Warwick Davis to talk to, because he's now made so many of these movies that I'm like, what is happening?
I was thinking, if you think of the two most popular little person actors, it's Warwick Davis and Peter Dinklage, and their careers could not be more different.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Dinklage, Emmy Award-winning actor,
station agent.
Warwick Davis has a lot of dialogue that rhymes in his movies. He's always asking riddles in his movies.
Val Kilmer has carried him on his back.
He gets set on fire a lot.
Wait, so in the other Leprechaun movies, what does the Leprechaun want? Is he always looking for that pot of gold?
He wants his gold back. That's his thing.
So this is sort of, this departs from the rest of them.
Well, he wants his gold. No, he wants his magical flute is gold.
Yeah, it's gold. Yeah, so always it's his gold. Because all these horror movies, bad ones, are like morality plays, you know, like people who do bad things get bad things happen to them. Like, you know, have sex, you get killed. And this is sort of from that genre. You steal the gold and then, by the way, the protagonists, who are the good guys, are the worst, most terrible people to try and con people. They shoot Ice-T right away in the beginning. They steal the gold. They shoot the leprechaun. Yeah. They're raging homophobes.
And they're really offensive to Asian people.
Yeah, they hate Asians.
They're not the nicest of guys. I mean, the other thing about this movie, like, I was reading about it, and people were like, oh, it's campy and it's fun. It was not written or performed campy. It's written like, if I mean, it's not written like winking. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like they're writing like a...
Well, there are jokes in it. Like there are jokes. Like they're constantly joking with the guy who's a virgin, and when they go to the guy's mom, grandmother's house,
blind mom.
She's like, she's blind, and she's like, "Are you still a virgin, boy?" You know. Like,
I thought the virginity was going to pay off. He was going to have sex with the grandmother. I really thought that.
I didn't think the grandmother, but I thought he was going to.
Or the transvestite. I think it was going to be
the transvestite.
One of
was amazing as a character.
Oh my god!
When they rehearse their hip hop routine for the big contest with her in her house, I was like, "What?" And she's just dancing. I was like, "Holy shit!"
Do you guys remember what the leprechaun says when he sees the transvestite? This is his exact rhyme. I wrote it down. He says, "I didn't come to play with fruit. I only came for my magic flute." He calls him a fruit. It's the only thing that the good guys and the bad guys agree on is that gay people are weird.
Well, I want to back to these like rhymes, because there was something that was amazing to me. Basically, the leprechaun is frozen if you can get the necklace on him. And there's no clever way that they get the necklace on him both times in this movie to freeze him. Something happens where the necklace is thrown into the air, and then somehow it lands perfectly around the leprechaun's neck. I mean, it's the worst.
Well, that's it. That's the only way to get it around his neck is just sheer accident.
Otherwise,
it doesn't work.
Nope.
Yeah, Ice-T freezes him, puts him in a glass box, but to keep him in his office. But basically, he stepped on a plank. The plank shot up the necklace, and it fell on its thing. Now he's been asleep from the 70s. To the 2000s.
Yeah.
The first thing that happens when he's unfrozen, he makes a Tiger Woods joke.
That's his first line.
Yeah. His first line is like a rhyme about Tiger Woods.
He says, "Unhand me gold, you thieving hoods. You got more gold than Tiger Woods." A man who is not known for having a lot of gold.
Also, how does this leprechaun keep up with current events? He's been frozen for 40 years.
Maybe in the 70s he was following this guy's career. He was like, you know what? At some point, this guy's going to be huge.
And when I get a chance, I'm going to take a shot.
Yeah.
Hope it pays off.
I'm going to shoot the moon on this one.
Oh my god. And the leprechaun now is freed again in 2000, and there's some crazy shit that goes on here. Like, there's one scene where they decide the positive group, Postmaster
who has,
P.
Who chemistry set as part of their performance.
Yes!
Why?
When they rap, they have a complex like explosion thing going on. That was the virgin.
The virgin mixes chemicals to make smoke and explosions.
Well, then later
on, like the first scene, they're performing and it explodes and blows them off the stage.
His chemistry is questionable, though. Later on, he mixes a douche with jelly.
Yeah, that, again, because it's a transvestite. Yeah. So there are so.
Of course.
By the way, I
also love so many possibilities.
Everybody who sees the leprechaun is horrified because it's a fucking monster. Except for the transvestite, who's like, "Oh yeah, come," because gay dudes just want to fuck.
She actually says, "You're the perfect size."
Yeah, exactly. Like
for what?
He sees Godzilla, like hubba hubba.
I love that. I love that they're auditioning for this Las Vegas competition in what looks like a shitty Italian restaurant.
It's like a Thai restaurant or something. Yeah.
It's the hip-hop cafe.
Is it called
the hip-hop? They call it the hip-hop cafe.
Yeah.
Oh my god. When they decide to rob Ice-T, because Ice-T was very mad to them, they kind of gather together, and did you guys see this fading shot where a guy is walking to them on the train tracks, and they cut the scene three times to get the guy closer, like he's walking.
First they're like, who's that?
Jump cut.
First, they're like, who's that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? Who's that? It's your friend. You've been in every scene with him.
Yeah, we've only seen you guys together.
Why would there be another person walking towards you on
and
the train track?
He's 15 feet away.
And then they're like, oh shit, it's P. It's Postmaster P. And I was like, holy fuck, this is crazy.
They cut Postmaster P walking 15 feet. They do three dissolves to get him there closer. Like someone severely mistimed that scene.
I loved when they jumped off a roof of a building, landed in a dumpster, and then ran away. I was like, what? You guys would be straight up paralyzed right now.
Also, their logic is incredibly flawed. Ice-T, who has become a success in the rap business because of his magical flute, basically gets on the phone and is like, I'm going to cut off your balls. I'm going to feed it to my pit bull. And when my pit bull shits it out, I'm going to light it on fire. And like, he hears them and, oh shit, you know, Onassis is a hard ass dude. And they go, let's rob him. The next scene is like, let's rob this guy that we know is the most tremendously aggressive dude in the world.
Also, can I say something though? Ice-T, not phoning it in. Ice-T is swinging for the fences.
And he's wonderful.
He crushed this movie.
Yeah.
You guys.
I bet he got his SVU part from
I
this.
I was thinking that too.
Like, Dick Wolf is watching it like, that guy.
Well, that's exactly why I was like, he's not playing it campy. He's playing it real. Let's actually hear, this is a scene where the leprechaun confronts Ice-T.
In the bathroom?
In the bathroom.
Get you some. Okay. That's what you need chronic.
He's talking to himself in the mirror.
Gotta smoke some weed.
Relax. Cool out. Smoke a joint.
The leprechaun shows up.
Yeah. Curious aroma.
So Ice-T hands him the joint at this point. The leprechaun now is smoking weed.
Ice-T is great in this scene.
Interesting blend. Interesting bullshit. That's the bomb right there. The bomb?
It's like a peace offering.
This is the...
Ah, the bomb.
This is like the scene...
A friend with weed is a friend indeed. But a friend with gold is the best, I'm told.
So now he passes the joint back to Ice-T. Ice-T goes to grab it, but the joint is dropped.
In slow motion.
Oh God,
what happened?
Well, he goes, you ever hear a gold finger? And he rips off Ice-T's finger.
Does he have a gold finger? Well, I never got
ring.
That.
He had a ring on that was gold, so he rips off his finger to get to his ring.
And he has gold finger. Ice-T is like, oh, you motherfucker! You cut off my finger! And he's like sitting there with like a stump, a bloody stump. And then the leprechaun goes off into the other room, and he said he's going to go kill that green motherfucker.
The leprechaun is able to move throughout the world with agility and facility that makes no sense. Like, he gets into bar bathrooms, he gets into the pawn shop, everywhere he wants to go, he can go without anybody being like, hey, there's a fucking monster right there.
Yeah. and also, this leprechaun likes weed. He definitely likes
weed. I wanted three things from this movie before I watched it, Paul. I wanted him to smoke weed. I wanted him to rap.
Got it.
And I wanted him to refer to his gold as bling, which he never did.
Oh.
Why did they never do that?
You're right.
Huge oversight.
Right. We got to call these guys.
But to me, also, that scene between the leprechaun and Ice-T was kind of like that scene in Heat between De Niro and Pacino. Really, actors.
You've been waiting so long for these two guys to get together
Get together, have that scene.
Yep.
Mano-y-mano.
When Ice-T gets shot, when he interrupts the robbery and he gets shot there.
Right at the beginning,
right at the very beginning, and falls down, passes out, but then we realize he's been saved
by a
from
gold
a bullet
coin.
By a gold like medallion.
Yeah, I mean that's what we're supposed to buy.
He does take it out and kiss it and goes, oh, thank you for this. But then he's like, oh, my flute. Now,
but why did he pass out from that?
You got shot with a bullet. You got knocked back and he hit
you
his head.
All right.
Hey, June. Don't poke holes.
All right, I'm sorry, you guys.
Don't poke holes, because that is one of the only logical parts of this movie.
Now, there is a question that I have about this Jackie C and Jackie D scene. Do you remember this? Like, there was a guy, I don't even remember what he necessarily did in the movie.
He was the pawn shop owner.
Was he the pawn shop
guy? Oh, yes, he was the first pawn shop guy. These, Postmaster P is trying to sell a Jimi Hendrix guitar.
From a made-up festival. Like, you guys are the worst con men. Say something that actually exists.
It ends in Palooza.
Yeah, Psychedelapalooza, I think it was called.
In 1971, when Jimi Hendrix was dead. Now, also, like, they're trying to pawn off this autographed Jimi Hendrix guitar, but they should just sell the guitar. The guitar looked like it was a good guitar. That would be worth some money.
Well, the pawn shop guy was like, no, this is a bad guitar.
And then they go to the Asian pawn shop guy. He's like, oh, you try to trick me? Ah, don't trick Chow. The most offensive.
By the way, if you notice, every single scene with that Asian guy is completely redundant with the scene before it.
Oh, yeah.
The first one, they try and sell the Jimi Hendrix guitar to Jackie C, then to him. Later, they go to Jackie C. They use the flute to establish the powers of the flute.
Yes.
Then they go to the Asian guy, do the exact same thing.
No new information.
For no reason.
No new information.
For no reason.
And the flute, in the beginning, he'll just blow it, and people will stare at him. And then he's like, what are you guys staring at? And like, oh, nothing. I don't even understand how the flute works.
The flute, am I right? The flute didn't make any sound, right?
No. It's like a dog whistle.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because I kept being like, what's going on? Like, why isn't something coming out of the flute?
Well, the first time he put it in his mouth, I'm like, does he just have it in his mouth and he's deciding whether or not to blow it? Like, I didn't quite know.
It is the exact reaction that people would have, though, if somebody was, like, blowing a flute in a pawn shop. Like, who's this fucking asshole?
Yeah,
what's he doing?
What's going on? Now, Jackie C, I guess, or Jackie D, the pawn shop guy, is driving home at night and sees, like, his former love.
Who's also Stray Bullet's mother.
Oh, right.
What?
Yeah, they say later on that...
Oh, yeah, the blind grandmother says something about it.
So, Straight Bullets...
Layers.
An onion, you just keep on peeling.
By the way,
I want to cry.
Postmaster P, all about bringing the positivity. Stray Bullet, not so much.
No.
Doesn't seem like that was
His name is Stray Bullet.
when they go to a...
Like, doesn't imply control.
Postmaster P bringing positivity. Stray Bullet, straight up killing you. Random.
Not even meaning to, yeah.
The Stray Bullet, ultimately, never, like, he's always putting his foot in his mouth. When they go to perform at that church, they're singing, like, Jesus loves me, this much I know. And it was like,
if he doesn't love me, I'll take some hoe.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh,
you
hey.
Should know that's not a thing to say in a church.
And he looks like, I don't know. So back to that scene. So the pawn shop guy is driving away, and then he sees his former love, Stray Bullet's mom. And she's like, I guess, a hooker, but she's like shaking. She's in a miniskirt. And all it is like, he just starts going, oh, Jackie D. And she's like, I want you back. I want you back. And they start, like, making out on the street. And then the woman, who's also named Jackie D and Jackie C start making out. And then Jackie D becomes a leprechaun.
But then the leprechaun is somewhere else.
Under the car?
We don't know where the leprechaun is.
He's just in, like, a dark area.
Can I tell you what I think happened in that scene? I think that they didn't know what to do. They had that woman turn into a leprechaun, and they just used footage of when the leprechaun was caught in the safe, because he's kind of, like, in a little safe, and they cut to him, like, in this little box. Like, he's nowhere. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
This,
like,
is similar to what you were saying, Jason. His powers are so vague in the movie. He can set people on fire.
Yeah.
He can shoot, like, holes in people's stomachs.
Yes.
He can
telekinesis.
He has telekinesis. He can summon zombie fly girls.
Yes.
But then he also just chokes people sometimes.
And stabs people sometimes. Yeah.
It also makes you think, though, like, what does he need with this flute?
Or gold.
Or gold.
Who cares?
Yeah.
He appears to be...
That's his Achilles heel.
Yeah.
That's his Achilles heel. Yes, he's omnipotent, but he's obsessed with his gold.
Yeah.
And not even a big pot of gold. A small...
It's
a
not
smallish
that much.
Pot. Yeah.
It's
he seems immortal as well. Unkillable. Like, they shoot him 10,000 times.
Yeah.
They shoot the arms off of his body.
Yeah.
And yet he still is reconstituted.
Yeah, sure.
He goes, come on, me arm. Get over here.
He
and then there's smoke. There's smoke, and he stands up and is like, I'm all better now.
Do I have to say, I felt like the kills for a horror movie were pretty unimpressive. I mean, there's like one or two good ones.
And redundant.
Like the lot of ripping through people's cores. Like, he shoots, you know, a hole through somebody's body.
The shooting the hole through is like, how is that part? Then why don't you just kill everybody?
Yeah, just shoot holes.
Why is it so difficult to get the gold back?
He can put, apparently, he can put out electricity with his hands.
Yes.
He electrocutes that guy in the bar after the weed smoking scene.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and I was like, he can do that? Like, who is he? The Emperor in fucking Star Wars?
But then sometimes he'll just, like we said, he'll just go in for a simple choke.
Yeah.
Or stab someone with an afro pick.
Or sometimes
that was great.
Sometimes he just walks away.
Yeah.
He walked out of scenes a number of times. Just like, well, not today.
This is not
like,
I'm not satisfied with
I'm not feeling this. I'm not feeling this
right
kill.
Now.
Well, my favorite scene is kind of close to the end where Postmaster P has brainwashed people into liking his music, which is not bad by the standards of this movie. And
but is like pretty morally reprehensible in terms of creativity.
True. That is true. That is true. And so they win. They're really excited. The leprechaun goes to see them. And the leprechaun also has a power of just controlling people's hands.
Yeah.
Like, and so he makes Stray Bullet, who pulls out a gun to point at the leprechaun, to point the gun at Stray Bullet's head. Now, my whole thought was, why doesn't Stray Bullet just move his head back and forth? Because, like, yeah. His hand is frozen, but his body is not. And then the leprechaun also moves the gun over to somebody else. Like, yeah, that's what
to
he does.
To Postmaster P.
Yeah, he moves it over to Postmaster P's head. And it's like, just move, Postmaster P. You're not frozen. You can get...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Stray Bullet doesn't want to shoot you.
Also, Postmaster P, you are aware that there is a very famous rapper called Master P, right? You can't just be like, my name is GZ. I'm going to be huge.
Postmaster P, that was, and oh my gosh. I mean, obviously, no spoilers, but when Postmaster P at the
seriously,
end.
Seriously, Paul, don't do any spoilers
okay.
right now. I mean, I like, just really.
We can't. Well, I don't want to. I'll allude to it.
Do you guys really not do spoilers?
No. At the end, when Postmaster P. Postmaster P, at the end, when he does go to Vegas to perform, the rest of his band is all dead, which we'll get into. But he. Now, is he a hard. Core rapper at the end?
Well, that's the thing, is that once he gets the flute, he, which is when any song he makes people are gonna love, that's the magic of the flute.
Yeah.
He abandons his message of positivity and just goes into like songs about shooting people. So his arc is going from a good guy to sort of a bad guy.
Yeah, because at the end.
And especially he becomes a bad guy when he's given the power to.
Be a
put
good guy.
Out a good message.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the problem was, Ice-T was like, you can't sell this positive shit. You gotta talk about shooting people. You gotta talk about, like, that was Ice-T's big, like, speech to them. And Postmaster P was like, we can't do that because then we're just like him.
Yeah.
And we can't be that, blah, blah, blah. And then when he has access, he just is just like him.
Yeah. And they go right from there to saying we have integrity to trying to cheat, to trying to con the pawn shop people by lying to them.
And then after
and
they don't con the pawn shop people, they go to rob. They rob and shoot Ice-T.
They rob and shoot Ice-T.
And trying to use the flute to just trick people into liking them.
Oh, yeah. And then when they go to the church, they lock the leprechaun in a box and they tell the priest, like, hey, can you take care of this? They're responsible for, like, 15 deaths in that movie. Well, Postmaster P is.
And they put the leprechaun in a steel vault. And he escapes, but you never see how or why he escapes.
Well, he summons the zombie fly girls, which is another power he has.
Yes.
I assume they go and unlock him?
I guess, but you don't see that.
No.
You don't even understand how that happened, because one zombie fly girl comes in, and immediately the preacher who sees the zombie fly girl is like, ooh, I can speak in tongues, let me show you. Like, and he's going to make out with her, and then he takes off her glasses, she's zombie, like, and then all of a sudden...
Which glowing green eyes don't mean zombie. Do you guys know what zombies are?
Like, yeah.
Why did they call them zombies? They weren't zombies.
They were just possessed. And then the creepiest thing in this movie was at one point they find out that the leprechaun has been taking random women off the streets, and they hypothesize he has been fucking them until they die.
Really?
And he goes,
yeah, because they bring up the new,
that.
They bring the new girls at the end, remember? And that's why the two guys, Master P and Butch,
that's why they dress up as women.
They dress up as women so that the leprechaun will try and fuck them.
Yes,
to death.
Because he goes, wait, man, he's bringing these girls up there. What does he do with them? I don't know, man. I bet he fucks them to death. And then,
so it's just conjecture.
You don't know because those girls disappear. And so then they decide to dress up as girls. And drug the leprechaun with weed laced with four-leaf clovers.
Which is a running thing in all the movies. That's actually a thing.
Okay.
They kill him with four-leaf
clovers. Oh, really?
After reading Leprechauns for Dummies, the book. The yellow leprechauns. Right.
But the leprechaun wasn't actually fucking women to death. Or
but
was he?
Because
but
when he they like, dress up as women, he goes, come over here and I'll give you the bone.
Yeah.
He was definitely fucking
he's
them.
Totally using prostitutes and
see,
stuff.
I think I choose to believe the best of the leprechaun.
Yeah.
I believe they have consensual sex and then he pays with some of his gold for them to go to junior college.
Oh, by the way, I think you may be right.
Can we also refer to him as the lep from here on out?
Yeah, yes. The lep.
The lep.
By the way, just to go on some of the racist stuff, when he's first freed in the 70s, the first thing the leprechaun says is like, free at last, free at last, thank God almighty, free at... Like, it's like, he's parodying Martin Luther King in the 70s. Crazy racist.
Oh my God, yeah, I didn't even think of that. That's amazing.
I didn't notice any of the racist stuff, especially against black people. I only saw the inherent racism against the Irish.
There is, how about the scene after Stray Bullet dies?
Spoiler alert.
Postmaster P. Stray Bullet gets shot, or Stray Bullet shoot, or somebody, I forget. I think Stray Bullet gets shot.
Stray Bullet shoots himself.
He controls him,
and then he shoots himself.
Stray Bullet shoots himself in the head.
He doesn't try to move his head.
It gets really dark at the end. Yeah.
It does.
Really upsetting.
And they don't show them blowing his head off.
No.
They just cut to black. And then the next scene, they've put Stray Bullet's body in a car by the train tracks. Arguably the most interesting scene. Like, how did they get Stray Bullet's body out of this club?
Why did they do that, though? Did they think that they were going to be implicated in Stray Bullet's death?
I don't know.
Like, it seemed like they were setting up Stray Bullet to be found that way, as though he killed himself in the car alone.
But yeah, so they had to have taken his body out of the club, put it in the car, then parked the car by the train tracks. Like, all right, man, see you later. Stray Bullet's dead. But it made no sense on why they needed to get Stray Bullet's body out of there, because it was a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah. Stray Bullet.
And so Postmaster P obviously is having some terrible nightmares. One.
Nightmares within nightmares. Yeah, a lot of fake outs.
He has two nightmares. One nightmare is the leprechaun comes over to his grandma's house for food, and the grandma stabs the leprechaun's eye out.
That's what you want to happen.
Yeah, that's a good thing. But that was a nightmare. Like, oh.
While she's trying to feed him with a fork, she ends up stabbing his eye out. That's
and
great.
Because she's so blind, she keeps on missing his
she's
mouth,
like the blindest person in the world.
Which is like a really terrible homage to like Frankenstein, the blind man in Frankenstein. Like, there are some like broad comedy moments like that. Been like, and when Ice-T pulls a baseball bat out of his afro wig.
Jesus.
But that's it. Like, there's like two of those big, broad moments. And the rest is like,
well, there's the rapping at the end. I have a question. Is the rapping happening within the world? Or is it sort of a something about Mary, what's that one?
No, something about
Slumdog Mary- Millionaire kind of thing, where they're like, the hard part's over, now let's have some fun.
Yeah. No,
We're walking out of the theater, we're getting our coats on.
Here we go.
Let's have a good time and tell our friends
that we
saw.
It was so much fun to make this movie, guys.
I totally believe that rap scene was in the middle of the movie, but it was too long because it showed how he made all the girls fly. And I think they were like, oh, we gotta drop it at the end, because at the end of the movie, when Postmaster P pulls down his glasses, we see that he has now become
a
leprechaun.
It's got a bad ending. The bad guy wins.
Yeah, the bad guy wins, and then it cuts over to the leprechaun, who's still free, and he goes, I taught him everything he knows.
Yeah.
And now, let's play the leprechaun rap here. We don't have to hear the whole thing, but we can hear a little bit.
From the land of the Irish Spring, Dublin's the place where I learned my thing. From the Emerald Isle to your place in the hood, I'm the man of green, come to do no good. Lep in the hood, come to do no good. Lep in the hood, come to do no good. Blunt is dope, this place is hot. There's a lassie, she's just my type.
And now he's transforming hot girls into zombies.
I've been late so long, it's trapping.
And again, no one
so
questions
bad. I'm good.
That the leprechaun is just outperforming or anything.
Don't worry, little lassie, you've got nothing to fear. Sit with the lad who's
so you get an idea of that. You don't have to hear any more of that. Oh my God. And the guys, when they dress in drag to defeat the leprechaun, one guy doesn't even shave his mustache. And he goes, hey, we look really good. And he's got a full mustache. He's like, just do that. It wasn't even it's like a prince mustache. It's not even a full mustache.
Is that Butch? Is Butch the one who
didn't Butch the one that is dressed up as like a church lady.
Man.
Yeah. Postmaster P looks like kind of hot in a red
dress.
Yeah,
he's like super
jacked.
He's
like super sexed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, we talk about these movies and we give a very unfair point of view to it, because there sometimes people actually really do like these movies. So here is now a chance to hear a second opinion. So based on Amazon reviews, there are some people who genuinely like this movie. Brian Tyler goes, you should see this movie. It was the best of all Leprechauns, spelt CAHNS, like James Caan.
Leprechauns, like a Jewish leprechaun? Yeah. Oh, leprechaun.
It was the best of all Leprechauns, except for the first. It's funny, it's scary, it's weird, it's sick. And the Leprechauns, and he puts ES, Then he puts in quotes, women are hot.
Yeah.
5 stars.
What?
Distressed goes, so far, this fifth movie is the best. It's much better than the fourth and a bit better than the third. And if you don't like coarse language, then you shouldn't watch it because there's also a lot of sexual innuendo. Sorry. Oh, I said that wrong. I'll do that again.
Innuendo?
Innuendo. Sorry. I'll do it again. This one from Distressed. So far, this fifth movie in Leprechaun is probably the best. It's better than the fourth and a bit better than the third. But if you don't like coarse language, steer away. There's also a lot of sexual innuendo, some of it pretty sick. Still, I give it 5 stars.
Amazing.
A lot of 5-star reviews. Now, there was a couple people who agree with us, and this is the one that I wanted to read. It's different than the second opinion, but it was pretty good because it was so specific. Anon goes, this is the worst film ever made. Everyone knows it. Even Ice-T. Not even Ben Affleck could have saved this movie.
Whoa!
I just noticed that he spelled iced tea like iced.
Oh, yeah, like iced tea.
Like a pasta. Yeah, that's awesome.
Not even Ben Affleck could have saved it.
Oh, my God. What are you talking about? Because here's the thing.
Iced tea.
Ben Affleck could totally have saved this movie.
Yeah, he totally could take it.
It's within his power as both an actor and a director.
Oh, my God. So crazy.
Yeah, the first one has Jennifer Aniston in it.
Yeah, that's Jennifer Aniston's first role as in Leprechaun.
Right.
Man alive. Anything else you guys saw that we did not mention, anything we talked about?
I was just happy to hear the word scrubs again.
No scrubs?
They did use the word scrubs more than once in this movie. I was excited.
I love that when the leprechaun starts sort of using, the first time he hears rap, he's like, what is this sound? And then he starts using, I love when he uses the slang, you know, like he says, da bomb. And
he loves the bomb. Like the bomb was like, it was like your dad teaching your dad that, like, because he's like, what do you think of this girl? He's like, she's da bomb. I did do a lot of research last night and looked online. Warwick Davis says, he wants to do Leprechaun 7. There are scripts, but no one is
scripts
biting.
Scripts plural?
Said scripts plural. There are 7 Leprechaun movies right now.
Lots of people wrote spec scripts.
Oh!
Leprechaun 7.
Oh my God. I can't believe we didn't talk about this. The head of the record company that signs Postmaster P, Dope Disc Productions, this guy walks in like from a 70s exploitation film. He's like a white guy wearing like a fur coat. He's like, hey, I'm so-and-so from Dope Disc Productions. And like, oh my God, it's like, but he's not doing anything really white. He's not doing anything really black. He's just dressed really weird like he's from the 70s. And they're so psyched to be signed by this guy when Ice-T was set up as the guy that you want to be with. But I guess Ice-T is not, he's not dead at that
is
point.
Is Ice-T with also Dope Disc? Or is Ice-T his own thing?
No, he has his own thing. He has
Onassis, right?
Yeah, I don't remember what his label was called, though.
I think also what's weird that fucks it up for me is that there's a song where you listen to Ice-T's character's rap.
Yeah.
And he calls himself Ice-T in the rap.
He does, yes.
You can't fucking do that.
Yeah, not when you...
You're playing somebody else. Coolio could do that because he's playing himself.
Well, yeah, and Coolio literally...
So in this world, Ice-T also is a rapper?
There is an Ice-T out there.
That was his only misstep in this movie. Can we agree?
It, I do love that. I can't impress on you more that Coolio literally is in this movie for a shot. No dialogue. It's like, Coolio! Shot, and then they go back to the scene.
And you got third billing. It was, Ice-T, Warwick Davis, and then Coolio, if you look at the credits.
It's amazing. Wow. He must have had to pay off some sort of debt.
Yeah,
or
right?
Something. I mean, he has no lines. No anything.
He just looks. He just walks into the church and is like, huh?
Oh, my God.
And everyone's like, is that Ice-T? And that's the end of that scene.
Oh, and why did the preacher have a gun underneath his pulpit? Like, at one point, they go, They're gonna go fight the leprechaun, and then Postmaster P grabs under the pulpit and goes, we're gonna need this. And the preacher is like, how did you know about my gun under there? Like, in what situation would you be running a sermon and have to pull out a gun like a convenience store clerk?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening?
They're gonna rob the church.
Also, that priest charges him to sleep there like a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like,
that
a hotel.
Was terrible.
That guy was corrupt.
Yeah, he was the worst.
That scene, I know you just mentioned it, but mm-hmm. when more you think about it, the weirder it is when they rap like about anti-Jesus and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then they play the flute and then they do the same rap. And
but it's all these
beats
it.
Now. But yeah. The first time they do it a cappella, like they're singing in church, and then they hypnotize everybody. Everybody comes back into church because everybody's gotten so mad that they've offended, they've said offensive things about Christ. So now everybody's under their control. And now it's just a straight up hip hop song with beats and everything, but they're unprepared for that.
Yeah. Like, but, and the crowd, the churchgoers are really into it, but the song is also like, it's
the
sort
same
of,
lyrics.
Yeah, it's like Jesus had a mother. Her name was Mary.
Joe.
Yeah. and yeah, exactly. And
Jesus,
then
wasn't it Jesus Loves Me, This I Know? And he had a mother named Mary Joe or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But if you go.
And if he doesn't love me, I'll take some hoe. But they also later have like a thing like where they talk about like if there's a God or not. Do you? In
yes.
the lyrics, they're like, somebody's watching us. Or maybe he isn't. Maybe he doesn't. Like, it's a very heady sort of
well, there are moments throughout
existential
this
song.
There are moments like that, too. Like, I guess Butch at one point starts talking about Tony Robbins, and he's like, you gotta believe in Tony Robbins. He says, you know, when you put out the positivity, you have to earn it in your life. It's like, wait a second. Like, what's going on? Like,
that happened super early in the movie. Yeah. I was like, why did this start just getting weird Tony Robbins preachy?
And it's a very long shot. They're like super far away and they slowly walk to camera.
The director liked these shots of like sending the camera way far away. And I have to say, for a movie called Leprechaun, there's a good 18 to 20 minutes where there is no leprechaun in the first part of that movie. It's all about these rappers and, I mean, the leprechaun's frozen.
Well, there's the cold open. Where
the cold open, yeah. But
did anybody else feel like all of the kind of B-roll stuff was just stock footage of L.A. from, like, 20 years previous to this movie being made? Like, just people walking around on the streets, like, all the exteriors. I was like,
it looked
this
like
feels like footage they bought from a house that is from, like, a post house or something.
To me, it felt like the rejected scenes from the opening of Beverly Hills Cop 1. It could have been Detroit. It's like, this random city, like, nothing, like, abandoned streets. Like, nothing really was going on the streets. Like, there's, like, a woman pushing a cart. It's a really sour look. And also, Ice-T... bold, if he's that big of a record producer, to still have a place in Compton, like in
Compton,
and not even a great office, really. Not even a great
not
office.
Not really. You know what? Really not great office.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and when they're breaking into his office to steal the necklace off the leprechaun's in a glass case, and Butch is the explosive guy, is like putting explosives all over the glass case, like, just break it. You know, you've already broken in. Like, what are you being gentle for? Like, break the glass case.
Well, so they break in very easily. They're like, we should break in, and it cuts to them in his office.
Yeah, like walking through the door.
Door opens.
You know, like, crazy.
Okay, so Leprechaun in the Hood, I recommend that you watch it. It is actually... it's worthwhile of a watch, I think.
Yeah, it's better than the space one, for sure.
And, I mean, the end gets really dark because, like we said... Postmaster Pete does not put the necklace back. Oh, I guess he does put the necklace back on him, but then he takes it off again because he's in Vegas and the leprechaun's in Vegas.
Yeah, it's got a dark ending. The bad guys win, the good guys lose.
Yeah, all the good guys die.
Jackie C and her son.
Yeah,
everybody in that family.
You guys are acting like Stray Bullet is a good guy, and he was not.
I guess they're all not good
guys. None of them are good guys, but that scene where Stray Bullet...
wanted to get out of Compton.
He was the one that took his shirt off and wanted to break into Ice-T's place. Postmaster P was like, we can't do that. Stray Bullet was...
But Postmaster P is the one who shoots Ice-T.
That's true.
But I believe that was just in a moment of panic.
You believe the best of
Postmaster
P.
Yeah, I don't think he knew what he was doing.
He didn't understand the concept of right and wrong.
Yeah, he really didn't. Not
that scene where Stray Bullet shoots himself, like, I jumped. Like, that was, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
When it goes to black, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. It was really dark. It was really, and the end is really depressing, too, because even though he's in Vegas, like, they shot it in a black box theater. There's nothing there. It's, like, some strobe lights and some, like, curtains that you would buy for, like, somebody's birthday. Like, it's that kind of material.
And he's possessed by the leprechaun.
And he's it's a dark ending, but I feel like it's like written by people who don't quite get rap. It's like, this is what happens to these kids. They have the best intention, and then society corrupts them, and that's it. Like, it does not paint rap music, street culture, anything in a positive light. In a way, the Leprechaun's the best thing that happened to these kids.
Yeah, they either win or they die. That's, I mean, what else is going to happen?
They're going to die by bullets or by leprechauns. All right, that is an end of another episode. Before we go, I want to tell you to check out earwolf.com. A lot of great stuff there. Like what? Like t-shirts. Like, how did this get made t-shirts? That's right. We have Ridiculous Cage t-shirts. It's a Nicolas Cage screaming. It says Ridiculous Cage. It's pretty great. It's only $20. If you have a chest, you should wear this shirt. What else are you guys going to...
Don't get creepy.
You know what? If you don't have a chest...
Yeah, don't be creepy.
If you're a chestless individual and want to wear it as pants by putting your legs through their armholes, fucking do it.
And when your legs come together, it makes the image on the shirt. That's great. I like that.
Right?
It's like a Mad Magazine. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Scheer.
At Miss June Diane.
What do you have coming
up? At Kumail N. Oh, can I plug a different podcast?
Please plug your podcast.
The Indoor Kids is a video game podcast that I host.
It's an awesome podcast, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah, Paul's been on it.
I haven't been on it. That's weird.
Yeah, do you play video games?
June, have you been on it?
No, I haven't.
Huh. June doesn't play video games.
Oh, we talked about June not playing video games on your podcast.
Yeah.
I love your podcast. It's for anyone who has played video games in the past and like has a nostalgia for it, and then also for people who are gamers.
I mean,
right
I play video games. It's just not a big deal.
Jason, what are you doing after this, Jason?
Let's just not worry about it.
It's on Nerdist, Nerdist.com.
And you do a show here in L.A. If you're in L.A., you have to come check it out.
Yeah, every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. at Meltdown Comics, I host a comedy show with Jonah Ray, and it's really fun. You guys should go check it out.
Yeah, it's one of the best shows out here in L.A. Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. To you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.
Hi, I'm Nick Vatterott.
And I'm Nick Turner.
And we are the hosts of Get Rich Nick.
For this podcast, we are out there in the world trying every get rich quick scheme to tell you guys which ones actually work and which ones aren't worth your time. Like donating plasma.
Online poker.
TaskRabbit.
Writing ebooks.
Betting on the ponies.
Going on eBay.
Background extra.
Making money from metal detectors.
Lemonade stands.
Selling fruit in the backyard.
Trivia nights.
Selling fruit from the backyard.
We're walking dogs on Rover.
We're playing video games for cash.
We're starting a Patreon way too early.
Betting how much you walk.
Losing weight.
We're hijacking a truck going southbound to Tijuana, and no one's going anywhere until we get what we want.
If you are intrigued by any of that, thank you.
You can tell which ones are not worth your time because we're still doing the podcast. If we were rich, we'd be on a yacht somewhere on a rainbow.
Get Rich Nick is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.